classic quartet sounds, young guys, modern age styles. How does all this make sense? Find out next with Ernie Haas and Signature Sound.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
So it may sound like a broken record, but with Ernie Haas and Signature Sound, it shouldn't, because everything that comes out of this group, even the old classic music, it sounds new again. I don't know how you do it. I don't know if the creativity is all with Ernie, or if it's a shared thing that's just spontaneous combustion when it happens. But let me tell you, when it happens, it's good, and it's been happening a lot lately for you guys. So we've got them all here. Even Wayne Hahn, the producer, is with us, Doug Anderson, Devin McLamory, Tim Duncan, and of course Ernie Haas. It's good to have you guys with us.
It's great to be with you, and been looking forward to the day that I could be on Daniel Britt and Friends. We are friends. Aren't we?
You're right, Ernie. And in all fairness, you invited me to Reardon Auditorium, Anderson University, for this sold-out video shoot that you guys did for the Cathedral's tribute. And I would have been there, except it was my wedding anniversary.
Oh.
And of course, the next thing that follows is what a wonderful anniversary gift you could have given your wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Gotta have priority.
I thought you were going to say you had a dentist appointment you didn't want to break.
No, it's something bigger than
something
that.
Something bigger than that.
Yeah. But I understand it was a wonderful event. And when you talk about the Cathedral's quartet, first of all, Ernie's got not only a history with the group, but also a relationship there with George's daughter being your wife. So that being said, how do you approach doing a tribute? Obviously, you're going to do songs that have already been made popular once. People have their favorite arrangements. They have their favorite vocal inflections. They memorize every little thing about the original. What makes you think that Ernie Haas and Signature Sound can come and do something that's going to honor them, top it, make it a favorite, a new favorite in 2010? Tough question, maybe, but how do you approach that?
We did have a philosophy, and the philosophy was that guided us through the process of 2 years was honor God, honor George and Glenn, who were the Cathedrals, and try to keep the DNA of their music, as far as the original arrangement, but add Signature Sound flair to it. Mm-hmm. So because, you know, it's already been 10 years. I've been away from the Cathedrals longer than I was with the Cathedrals. It's been 11 years mm-hmm. since they graced the stage. So there's a whole new generation of kids who love Signature Sound. They don't know the Cathedrals. So it will be new to them. And I don't think we have to outdo them. You don't outdo the original. But you let that philosophy guide you through the whole process. And then, like every song we do choose for every record, it has to, you know, there is spontaneous combustion. We do get in the front lounge. We do listen. And we all, before the song's over, we're all nodding our heads. We're like, I feel that. I feel that. So if we feel it here and we feel it all together at the same time, then we know that with Wayne's magic in the production area, and it's just going to be something that the fans possibly would like. It's not an exact science where everybody could do it, but that's kind of our formula.
Yeah.
Cool, clear water. Cool, clear water to me. One day I came to him. I was so thirsty. I asked for water. My throat was so dry. He gave me water that I'd never dreamed of. But for this water, my Lord had He said, I thirst, yet he made the rivers. He said, I thirst, yet he made the sea. I thirst, said the King of the earth.
from God's throne above, and like a river, he wells up inside me, bringing mercy and life-giving love.
He said, I thirst, yet he
Ernie Haas and Signature Sound, their tribute to the Cathedral Quartet, which, by the way, debuted at number one on Billboard's charts, just ahead of the Rolling Stones and the Beatles. My conversation with Ernie Haas and Signature Sound on their tour bus picks up here.
When you were with the group, obviously you were a tenor, but there were tenors before you with the Cathedrals, and you did songs on this new project that were originally done by other tenors. So putting the Ernie tenor touch to some of the other guys, and let's face it, when you get tenors are very distinctive in the voices. I think you have so many different kinds of tenor singers. Yeah. Was that a challenge just for you personally?
I try not to think about that. but the thing is, what we all have in common is we were fans.
Yeah.
And although they didn't get to sing with the Cathedrals, I was a fan before I sang with the Cathedrals. So those songs, I was singing them in my car. I was singing them going down the road. And so you know, for me to get a chance to belt it out with my voice was just, it was just like I was a kid again. I was a teenager again. I was sitting there in Evansville, Bethel Temple, watching George, Glenn, Mark, and Kirk, and Roger. And I was getting to live a dream singing some of these songs. And I know, Doug's come to Reardon to hear us sing with the Cathedrals, and he's sitting there on the steps because it was so packed in there when the Cathedrals would come, and he was sitting on the steps being a fan. So, and same with Deb and Tim. So here we were getting to actually walk on stage and sing these songs and hear our voices sing these songs. Man, it's just, it is just a dream come true, and we're blessed and honored to pay these kind of respects.
Too good to be true.
Well, there were questions and doubts, I tried to figure it out, but the best that I could do
was to wander around in the love that I found until the questions started answering themselves, singing, can he, could he, would he, yes he can, he could he, wouldn't he, dear. Can he, could he,
love me,
would he,
say you don't know what's necessarily so, like somebody said it once in a song.
You can think what you choose, but let me tell you the news, the Lord has loved you all along.
So if you're asking again, will the doubts ever end, simply trust him and see for yourself.
Singing,
can he, could he, would he, yes he can, he could he, wouldn't he, dear.
Ooh, can he,
could he,
love me,
would he,
Mr. Caddy Cootie, wouldn't he be? Caddy Cootie Woody, yes, a Caddy Cootie, wouldn't he love me, save me, took me, really? Caddy Cootie Woody, yes, a Caddy Cootie, wouldn't he be?
Let me tell you what my Savior did.
Caddy Cootie Woody, yes, a Caddy Cootie, would. Caddy Cootie Woody, yes, a Caddy Cootie, would.
Classic Cathedral Song by Ernie Haas and Signature Sound in their tribute project to the Cathedrals.
So, Doug, be honest. When you were a kid, when these days Ernie's talking about when you were listening to Cathedrals music, did you ever, I don't know, go into your room at night and crank up a Cathedrals thing and find a part and sing along with it so that now when it comes time to record, sure, it's not in your nightly repertoire because you're not the Cathedrals, but now that you're looking at doing these songs, it's kind of like it comes back, not necessarily from a professional aspect, but from you just being a fan.
Well, to record some of these songs, you go back to your childhood. Yeah. You remember exactly where you were when you heard that song. We'd go to a theater called the Marat Temples in Indianapolis. Yeah. Every year, two or three times a year, the Cathedrals would come there. Well, you always walk in, you see the four mic stands standing up on stage, and you see those two old guys walk out there that were bigger than life. Yeah. And you always hope that when you finally got a chance to meet those guys and to know them, yeah, that they would be just exactly like you hoped they would be. And they were. And that was the neat part about it. So having that respect and admiration for them to record those songs after all these years, it is a dream come true. So you remember all that stuff that you went through as a kid,
yeah,
when you're on stage now singing those songs, and it warms my heart.
I know sometimes as a fan of the music, you feel like, especially when you see the live stuff go on, and sometimes when an artist will forget the words or something, sometimes you feel like you have listened to the recording so much that maybe you know the inflections or the flares even more than the artist seems to know. Like you have it more memorized than they do, and maybe that has come through on this. Okay, Wayne, as a producer of this, did you come at it, and Ernie can weigh in on this as well, did you come at it from, let's listen to the Cathedrals and see how, hear how they did it, versus looking at the sheet music of the writers of the song, just on song basis itself, and saying, okay, these were the notes the original writer wrote, but this is how the Cathedrals, they had their fingerprint on it this way. Weigh those two differences for us in the process of arranging all of this.
Well, I was a big fan of production, even as a kid. So those albums like Something Special that Bill Gaither produced, or Symphony of Praise that Larry Goss produced, I memorized every note, every orchestration, and we wanted to keep that authenticity. The Cathedrals made great records, and so we wanted to make sure that whatever we put on tape, took to tape, was a good representation of what people wanted to hear. When I hear remakes of pop artists or remakes of country artists, there's always that little musical twist that reminds you of the original, but then they do something different, and that's what we wanted to do here with this. With the song Mexico,
yeah,
wanted all authentic Mexican instruments.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're bringing in the guitarron,
yeah,
and the,
yeah,
claves and the timbales, and they weren't programmed. These were all,
right,
authentic instruments, but yet we use the same intro from the Something Special album.
I went down to Mexico to have a little fun, to hang around, see the town lay out in the sun. As I walked along one evening just outside of town, I passed a little chapel and I heard a pretty sound. Curiosity carried me in to stay a while, and I heard things I haven't heard child. They sang about God's saving grace right there in that little place. I found Jesus down in Mexico. I know that I never shall forget
salvation that I found in Mexico.
I may never see that little Spanish town again, but I'll always think of it as where my life began. Every day I'm lifted up just knowing that I'm saved. I don't have to worry about life beyond the grave.
I'm depending on God's power to keep me safe through every hour. Eternity is beautiful to me. I have a better life, I know. I'll tell it everywhere I go. I found Jesus down in Mexico.
Saw in Mexico, and yet the most beautiful and precious ever told
was salvation that I found in Mexico.
El con grace
salvación del México.
I found Lord
Jesus down in old Mexico.
Ernie Haas and Signature Sound, a tribute to the Cathedral Quartet. We are on the tour bus talking with the group and their producer, Wayne Hahn. And Wayne's analysis of the project picks up here.
Champion of Love. How can you top Larry Goss's arrangement of Champion of Love? So I used some of his orchestration, some of the lines, an oboe line, a French horn line, but yet did a different intro, a different key change, a different ending. But so you're going to get a hint of the old with a little bit of the new.
Did you talk to any of these guys along the way, like a Larry Goss or any of the guys who were working on the
project? Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, Larry came in and arranged a few of the tunes, three or four tunes for us, because it was just, you can't do a Cathedral's tribute without having Larry Goss's fingerprint somewhere. So, obviously he's a mentor of mine, so it was good to sit down and listen to some of these old songs and hear what he had to say about them.
More mighty than the mighty. champion of love.
Into this arena to raise his hands in victory for me. An angry crowd crucified this king who wore their crown as they gladly watched the champion going down. But I will never count him out, for I am a witness of title, champion of love. Oh, he is
higher than the highest, greater than the great. No one will ever take his crown.
Ernie Haas and Signature Sound, a tribute to the Cathedral Quartet. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, and my conversation with the group on their tour bus continues right now.
Devin is kind of the new kid on the block, but when I was talking to Doug earlier about listening as a fan, Devin raised his hand and said, hey, I was there too, listening to this stuff. And so not only have you come into Signature Sound, I know two months into being a part of this team, you're already over in Europe. So it's like, not only do you have to learn whatever their current repertoire is, but now you got to go to Europe, which probably may be a little more demanding because they're wanting to hear favorites they don't get to hear all the time like Americans do. So you had to learn a lot, and then all of a sudden you're plunged. I mean, we're just not even a year into this, and you're doing a Cathedral's tribute, which not only is, I mean, there's a lot of songs on these projects, but pressure. I mean, this is like the greatest group that ever was, right?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, learning Ernie Haas's Signature Sound material was not really a big issue because I've been friends with these guys for years, and not only friends, I was fans of what they did. So I knew that stuff, knew all the older stuff. And again, with the Cathedral songs, Ernie, you know, he emailed me a list, said, hey, here's the stuff we're looking at doing on this project. And I think out of all the songs, there was one that I hadn't heard. And I knew all the other ones, and I soon became a fan of that one I didn't know. Yeah. And it was humbling to be singing these songs that I've always listened to as a kid. As a matter of fact, man, I've been watching Ernie sing since I was a kid. And I remember them coming down to...
I hate you, Devin!
I remember them coming down to Thomasville, Georgia to sing for Billy Hudson and Lighthouse Children's Home. I mean, we'd go every year, and I'd sit there just in awe. You know, I wanted to be those guys. Yeah.
Tim, I love Glenn, and I love his style. Nobody can replace Glenn. But was he, like, lead baritone?
It was lead.
George had not only this personality, and this is not to say anything against Glenn, because Glenn had all this too, but there's something about a bass singer and the personality the bass singer gives the group. I think you all know what I'm talking about. So Tim obviously provides that in a unique way for Signature Sound. So Tim, what was different about, or what was challenging, I guess, to try to not copy George and not be perceived as copying him, but at the same time do a service to your group, but give it that Cathedral, you know what I'm saying? Give it the Cathedral sound without people saying, hey, Tim's just doing a copycat job and either he's making it or not making it, you know, comparison type thing.
Yeah. Well, of course, I've listened to George, for several years, and George was the best
the best. He had more rhythm in his voice than any other bass singer. It was more than singing. His diction he was a great singer. So yes, I have listened to George, but you know, at the same time, and there are a couple of songs that like This Old House that I'm gonna do it. And you can't top his diction and the way, you know, especially going into that third verse, the way he sang that song. And so, but for the most part, you know, it's, I put my spin on it, you know, but at the same time, I have listened to George, you know, for several years, and he was the best, you know, so it's not like a copying George, but yet you want to, if he was the best, you want to take a lot of his the stuff that he did.
This old house once knew my children, this old house once knew my wife, this old house was a home and comfort as we fought the storms of life. This old house once rang with laughter, this old house heard many shouts, now she trembles in the darkness when the night wind walks about. Ain't gonna need this house no longer, ain't gonna need this house no more.
Ain't got time to fix the shingles, ain't got time to fix the floor, ain't got time to order the hinges or to mend the window pane. Ain't gonna need this house no longer, I'm getting ready to meet the same.
This old house is a-getting shaky, this old house is a-getting old, this old house lets in the rain, and this old house lets in the cold. On my knees I'm a-getting chilly, but I feel no fear of pain, for I see an angel peeking through a broken window pane. Ain't gonna need this house no longer, ain't gonna need this house no more.
Ain't got time to fix the shingles, ain't got time to fix the floor, ain't got time to order the hinges, nor to mend the window pane. Ain't gonna need this house no longer.
Dog lies asleep and he don't know I'm gonna leave. Hell's he'll wake up by the fireplace and he'd sit there and howl and grieve. But my hunting days are over, ain't he gonna hunt for coon no more. Gabriel done brought in the chariot when the wind blew down the door. Ain't he gonna need this house no longer, ain't he gonna need this house no more.
Ain't got time to fix the shingles, ain't got time to fix the floor, ain't got time to order the hinges, nor to mend the window pane. Ain't he gonna need this house no longer.
When the saints
go marching in,
when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number.
When the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in.
Complicate this. I mean, you guys are artists, and you guys just—I mean, you sing. It comes naturally. It's a situation where it's creativity more than it is, I guess, scientific type stuff. But so you studied the cathedrals. That's a given. Did you go beyond that and maybe look at who George studied or look at who Glenn studied to try to trace this back and say, well, this is how George and Glenn did it, but they got the ideas from these guys, so let's go look at them, maybe like a big chief type guy. I know George and Chief are real good friends and whatnot. So you want to talk about that, Ernie?
Yeah, and actually the tour that we are, and that speaks to the tour name, the tour is called the Cathedral Influence Tour. We've got two albums already that we went back and revisited some great quartet songs of the 40s and the 50s. And so sitting up on the bus late at night, I would tell... You know, George Glenn would be sitting up, and if you want to talk old school quartet, Stamps Baxter School of Music, mm-hmm. Radio Days, mm-hmm. and the great quartets of old, like the Blackwoods and the Statesmen, And they would sit up till 3 and 4 in the morning and talk to you about that stuff. So we did on this record and have on a couple other records hit those highlights. And so they definitely, Cathedral's influenced us. Jake Hovey and the Blackwoods influenced George and Glenn. And it has crept its way into it. And I'm looking over across the way at Wayne. He was talking about him knowing the music. Not only did he know it, he said he studied the production. We were on a cruise when we first started talking about doing this. We were in my room, all those guys, a couple of our wives were there. And on my MacBook Pro, it's got iTunes, of course. All right?
Yeah.
So I got a whole playlist called Cathedral Quartet Nation. So that's what I call the playlist. And there's probably over 150 songs in there. So I'm going through there, my playlist, and I was like, we're playing Name That Tune. And it would, like, the introduction would start, and it wouldn't be three notes into it. Wayne was already telling you what it was. God Delivers Again. Boom. Champion Love. Boom. Step in the Water. Boom. I mean, he was nailing it. So don't let him fool you.
Yeah.
That guy over there, he's
a nerd.
He is a gospel quartet nerd.
So what is your history with the cathedrals? You just a fan? Did you go to an annual event growing up in your hometown? Or did you have a professional career with them?
I grew up in East Tennessee on J. Basil Mull.
Yeah.
Who's a phenomenal...
That's right.
And, you know, the cathedrals didn't come to East Tennessee a lot.
Yeah.
But when they did, you got your ticket early.
Yeah.
Or you didn't make it.
Yeah.
Because they would come, you know, once every 3 or 4 years, and they'd be at a theater. And, I mean, the tickets would sell out in a day. So, I mean, they were big stuff. I mean, we had great groups that came through in yearly annual events, but the cathedrals were just, they were the untouchables.
Yeah.
They were the Michael Jackson to me.
Right.
They were, I mean, I never went to their table because I was afraid of death. Because they were that big to me.
Wow.
Seriously, that big.
Wow.
That's sweet.
Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper, wet your feet in the water of His love. Oh, step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper, come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God.
It's time we the people stand up for what is right. It's time we squared our shoulders back and raised our swords to fight. For the Bible is my weapon and the Spirit is my shield. The church needs more of its members to be workers in the field.
Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. Wet your feet in the water of His love.
Who walks the narrow way? There's been a prize appointed for the soul who does not stray. Oh, I want to live for Jesus, be all that I should be, so I can rest with Him forever, live eternally.
Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper, wet your feet in the water of His love. Singing praises to the Lamb of God, to the Lamb of God. Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. Wet your feet in the water of His love. Oh, step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. Praises to the Lamb of God.
singing, hear those glad bells ringing, come join angels singing, praises to the Lamb above. Come on, children, and step into the water, children. Come on, children, and step into the water, children. Come on, children, and step into the water, children.
We're talking to Ernie Haas and Signature Sound here on Daniel, Britt, and Friends. It's a tribute to the Cathedral Quartet. We're listening to a DVD and a CD, and I'm sure you can get a two-pack wherever fine Christian music is sold,
that's
right?
That's right. We'll bundle them together.
And if they don't sell it, don't patronize them. Go somewhere else and spend your money. We've got an I Still Don't Understand. Somebody's been lying to us all these years because you got 19 songs on one CD. Is that right? 20 or 21 21? Songs on one CD. See, I was under the impression you couldn't get, but just... So these are either really short songs or you've bent the rules of modern technology.
Well, no, I think the limit is actually 78 minutes. Yeah. And we fell just right under that. So some of the songs, of course, the big ballads are four and a half minutes.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's one thing that I stole from the Cathedral Playbook, which they stole from the Statesman Playbook. We love a 2 minute and 30 second song. After 2 minutes and 30 seconds, I'm bored.
Radio loves a 2 minute, 30 second song.
Do they really?
Unless we had to go to the bathroom in the old days.
Oh, okay.
Then it's a ballad.
Then you need a ballad.
Then we need a ballad.
Yeah. Yeah. And, okay, so this might be kind of fun. Let's just go around the room. I mean, Ernie, I know you got a lot of stories because George is really close to you and you have family memories and things that go with George. Maybe go around and pick out a highlight or two of your favorite Glenn and George moment or Cathedrals moment. Either just as a fan, maybe as a kind of a kid type level, or even later if you worked with them once you got into the singing business. So, Devin, you want to start?
I'll never forget in Thomasville one night. I went up to the table, and I was kind of like Wayne. I was a little scared of them, you know, because they were stars to me.
Yeah.
And I went up to the table, and I had my first little solo tape, and I gave it to George. And I walked up, you know, and said, "Mr. George, I'd like for you to have this." And honestly, you know, didn't know what he'd do with it. And he loved on me, hugged my neck. He said, "Son, I've been walking every day." He said, "I'm going to take you walking with me." He said, "I promise you." And a couple months went by. Saw him at the Quartet Convention in this very building where we're sitting right now. And he was, you know, shaking hands and hugging necks, just loving on people. Mm-hmm. And as he was hugging somebody, he saw me, and I caught his eye, and he just smiled real big and didn't think anything of it. He come over and loved on me like he had known me forever and said, "Son, I took you walking with me, enjoyed your tape." And that, I mean, that meant the world to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so I try to, you know, think about when we're at the table, you know, how I was treated as a kid. And I try to do the same thing with young people that come through because, you know, I know what it feels like to be on the other side of that table.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you it's because of their influence on me is why I'm being able to do what I do today.
George and Glenn, I think what makes this easy is... Like you say, they were kind of superstar status, but at the same time, they were, in a way, kind of like grandpa. You know, they just take you under their wing. It's cool. Hey, Tim, what about you?
Well, in the later years, George was able to come out on the road and do three or four concerts with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the greatest thing. And we would do three or four songs, you know, and then call him out. And he was so great with the crowd. And then he'd say, "I'm so proud of you boys." And he'd look over to me and say, "All except you." And he'd come over there to me, and he'd make me bend over, and he'd kick me in the backside with his cowboy boots. But that was great times.
So when George was on the bus, did you have to button up a little bit? A little respect in the house?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
I was kind of
Kind of scared but George had a way of making you feel so comfortable, you know.
Yeah,
it's like you've known him for several years, because he just talked to you like he has known you for a long time. So yeah, and about after 1 minute or so, you know, you felt so comfortable. He had a way of making you feel that way.
And wasn't he a storyteller? I mean, he could. I mean, if anything, off stage is like what it was on stage. It was just, you know, had you mesmerized. Even if you didn't care about the subject matter, you still listened.
Yeah, he was a great, great storyteller, and his recitations.
Yeah,
especially his recitation. They were so, so good. Nobody could do those like George. I remember the live. Was it live in Atlanta?
Yeah.
So they opened with what was opening song?
You
can walk on the water, but then I think the second or third song, he went in
he went into the recitation about the, you know, today upon a bus I saw, I forget how it goes, but a lady, and she was crippled, and but she smiled at me, you know, and they said, Lord, forgive me when I whine. I have two legs, and the world is mine. But yeah. You know, the third song into that live project, I thought that was the coolest thing, you know. So yeah, recitations. he was untouchable.
Did you guys do any recitations on here, on this project at all, yeah, either the video or the?
No,
George, you had George on tape, huh?
Yeah, George is a champion of love. You know.
Well, you know what? You're right.
Well,
tell about him.
Champion of love. He would introduce that song and he'd say, you know, he'd say, ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention? You know, and he'd introduce it the same way every night. And so we were able to, you're talking about technology.
Right.
We were able to take his voice off and on the beginning of Champion of Love, his voice is booming through the system. And ladies and gentlemen, and then we back him up. We'll sing a line, and then may I have your attention? You know, then we'll sing a line. So that was cool. And then on the Gaither medley, at the very end, that recitation, what was it about the thank you, Lord?
Yeah.
It was Jesus, we just want to
Jesus,
thank you.
Jesus, thank you.
We took the original, vocal that he did in the studio. And, I'm not sure. It's the same thing, it's the same recitation that he did then. But
Cut.
So you don't know everything.
Yeah, he does.
No, but seriously, you know what? My cathedral story is a little different because, like I said, I didn't know them.
Yeah.
Although I was their biggest fan.
Right.
I remember when Symphony of Praise was going to come out and be released through bookstores. I remember I was so excited and couldn't. I was playing in Knoxville Youth Symphony at that time, and I was bedazzled that a Southern Gospel Quartet was actually going to fly to London and do a record with the symphony. Yeah. And I couldn't wait. And my mother's an educator, so school was real important. You stayed in school from even if you were sick. You went 8:30 to 3:30, and it didn't matter. She actually came and got me an hour early so that we could get down to the Clinton Christian Bookstore. Because I was just terrified that they'd run out and wouldn't be there. And I'm telling you, I think I listened to that thing nonstop for a week. I was they set the trend completely in singing and definitely in production.
Jesus, we just want to thank you. Thank you for being so good.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for music and singing, and for giving us so much to sing about. Thank you for simple things. The sun coming up in the morning, rain when the ground is dry, for sleep when our bodies are tired, and a good meal when we're hungry. Thank you, we can feel things, that we can laugh and cry. Thank you for the good times, but thanks for the hard times too, that keep us depending on you. Thank you for homes and children, and for giving us the chance to know what it's like to be loved. But most of all, thanks for giving us your son. Help us to love like that. Lord, we just want to thank you. Thank you for being so good.
Thank you for being so good. Thank you for being so good.
And signature sound. I'm Daniel Britt. On today's edition of Daniel Britt and Friends, we're on board the Signature Sound Tour Bus. big white tour bus, all the guys gathered around. And we're talking about their new project that we're listening to today, a tribute to the Cathedral Quartet.
We've talked a lot about George, and again, Ernie, there's a relation there. Now, with Glenn, I know you're still pretty close with the Payne family, so how did you break the news to them or tell them what your plans were, and how has their response been or support of this project?
Well, I was very sensitive to the fact that you know, that name is, they own half that name, you know.
Yeah.
So I think I had a long conversation with Todd Payne. We were on the phone. He said, Bub, because he always calls me Bub, when are you going to do one? Or something like that. It came up. I said, you know what? We've talked about it for 9 years, and that whole saying, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Mm-hmm. You know, so I said, I'm just waiting for the right time. And so, you know, I think maybe another 6 months went by, and we were talking. I said, I'm starting to feel like that, you know, the stars are lining up, so to speak, or whatever.
Yeah.
So I said, I need to call your mom. So I called Van. I said, we talked for a little bit. I said, Van, I really want to pay tribute to George and Glenn. I said, there have been other things recorded, and Gaither's done videos on like that, but from my perspective and what I learned those last 10 years, I'd really like to pay my tribute to those two guys. I'd like to have your blessing. And she said, Ernie, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but I want to get it as close as possible as I can. She said, I've been waiting for this call. Mm. And you name the day, you name the time, and we'll be there. And because we're family.
Yeah.
And you know, the aunts, the Payne family, may not be blood family, but they're pretty daggum close. You know what I'm saying? and since I'm part of the aunts family, it was just, they wanted a family affair. And that night, to sit there and to look and to see Glenn Cole Payne, Glenn's grandson, and then Christian George Yance sitting right across from him in the aisle. You know, it was just, they were just not babies, but they were like 5 or 6 years old when their grandpas died.
Yeah.
So here they were getting to see a room full of people come from all over the world, and everybody's going crazy over their grandpas. And I was just, man, that just thrilled me to death. And old Van, I went down to talk to her during the concert, and she kissed me on the mouth and said, I'm enjoying this so much, Ernie. And that was enough payment for me.
Yeah.
That was enough payment for me.
Wow. All right, Doug, you're a fan. What's your story?
I remember one of the first years I came down to convention, I had met Ernie, just acquainted. We were just very smallly acquainted, I guess. But George was down here. I had never met George before, but a huge fan. And Ernie came to me and said, hey, you want to do a favor for George? Well, of course, I jumped at it. And he said, George has a Cadillac sitting out back here at the back door. He needs somebody to drive his Cadillac around to the front door of Convention Hall because he can't walk through all those people.
Yeah.
So I'm shaking. I'm shaking.
Sweaty.
So I take George's keys, his Cadillac, walk out to the bus, knock on the bus door. He walks down in this big trench coat. I mean, he is dressed to the nines.
Yeah.
Walks out, shakes my hand, and I get in his Cadillac, drive him around to the front door, which is not even a quarter of a mile, let him off at the front door, walk him in, and he hands me a $50 bill.
Oh, wow.
And I will never forget that. I think I should have kept that $50 bill. It would have been worth a lot more. But that is a great story. I'll never forget that as a young kid.
Okay, one question about the song Life Will Be Sweeter. I heard it today. You guys did it live. So maybe it was just something you did live just because you could, because you were live and you had that flexibility. But Life Will Be Sweeter, I know they kind of slow it down and do that tight harmony thing. Did you guys milk that or what on stage earlier?
Today,
do you do that slow all the time? Is it that slow on the record? And I mean, I think it's brilliant to really showcase, hey, in case your memory let you down and you don't remember, we're going to point it out big time. They slowed this thing down and did this tonight. So good job, first of all. But like in stuff like that, I'm just interested. What made you think, instead of just doing it the same tempo they did it, what made you exaggerate like that?
Because we were just being ourselves. And, you know, adding the fifth part with Wayne, and then, of course, you have a drummer who wants to play with a click, always stay in that click.
Yeah.
We're like, no, man, this song needs to breathe. It needs to shimmer. It needs to shine. And if we need to pull it back and and be happy with ourselves that we just did that and then they give a big smile and then go boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try, whatever. Yeah. We just, and every night it's a little different because we feel different every night. Mm-hmm. But that one song is a song where it's got to be all about feel. And and Wayne starts it off on the piano. He starts getting the feel right. And man, people love that. And you know what? That is the art form.
Yeah.
That is the art form. It drives Nashville musicians crazy.
Oh, yeah. With the you talk about technology, everything is now with a click or, you know, the metronome.
Right.
And it's pounding in everyone's headphones. And as good as technology has gotten, I think some of the records are a little bit lifeless. Because back in the old days, those guys, you just went, you were the accompanist. Yeah. You followed the vocals. And that's why we love doing Life Will Be Sweeter so much, because it's one of those tunes where every night it is different. I mean, it, good or bad, it is different. Usually good. But I promise. That's the beauty of that song. It's true art.
Jesus said, I believe him. Life will be sweeter someday.
I'm gonna
trust him, never doubt him. No matter what the folks may say, can't turn away from him lightly.
Because the joys of heaven I miss,
for I will live on up in glory after a while.
All right, final question. Again, not trying to get too scientific, but this really is a heart thing, I think. How much do you go back to the roots, not only of the music, but even stuff like Cathedral of Tomorrow and Humbard and Weatherford's? I mean, have you spoken to the Weatherford's, or have they heard the project yet, Lily Fern?
No, but I talked to Charlie Humbard, and I talked to Rex Jr., and we were down there taping a Christmas show for Gospel Music Television, which Charlie Humbard actually is the president of.
Right.
And I was telling him he was working on a cathedral project. And even tonight at a concert, lady came up to me. She goes, I was saved. I came to know the Lord through Rex Humbard's ministry. And, you know, when George came to Akron, Ohio in 1964 and joined the Cathedral Tomorrow, he was pretty washed up. Not vocally, but living a hard life. He'd come out of the military, went into a quartet that was good singers, but they didn't care. It was all entertainment.
Yeah.
And so when he came up to Akron, you know, Rex said, listen, he says, I believe in you. You got a good heart. You got a great young family. You need to move up here now and sing in my quartet. You need to get in the church. Mm-hmm. You need to get into Sunday school. You're going to teach kids class. You're going to get in the Word. And so a lot has been said about George and Glenn. Let me just say this. If it wasn't for Rex Humbard reaching out to George and his family, none of all this may not have happened. So, big kudos to that wonderful soul-winning preaching man, Rex Humbard.
Yeah. Wow. So art form, it's very important, and that's what's made this thing, you know, shine and dazzle. But behind it all is very much a heart for ministry, which you guys have. But I think a lot of that. It was very contagious from George and Glenn, because you could tell, as we've said, it's more than just being a superstar to them. It was about connecting with the people and spreading the message of hope.
Well, if I could say one thing about George and Glenn that would probably they would want me to say, wouldn't be, oh, what singers. It'd be, oh, what a savior. Yeah. And tonight I got a guy came up to me and just couldn't hardly get through his... This is every night now.
Yeah.
Here's just my nightly story. He said... We're on a cruise with my parents. They were older. And one morning, my dad's out there. He always got up early, and he's having breakfast. And he heard somebody say, can I sit and eat with you? And he looked up, and it was George. And all the tables were taken. So he sat and had breakfast with my dad. He didn't know him from Adam's house cat. He says, and for the next 3 days, George sat down and ate and had coffee with him, exchanged numbers. And he said, my dad passed away. He said, George called my mom at least once a week for a year. Just checking on her. And so I said all that to say this. Cathedrals were great singers. They made great records. They entertained. They treated people the way Jesus treated people. They loved them, regardless if they were king or pauper. If they were a mayor, they were nice to them. We'd go into a venue to sing, and it was a janitor. They remembered their name.
Yeah.
And so why are they... the new Max Lucado book I was telling you about.
Yeah.
How to Outlive Your Life. Let me tell you, they wrote that book. Mm-hmm. It's all about loving God and loving His people.
Come on in.
Signature Sound, following in some pretty big footsteps, but very honorable ones, and that music that you can relive, and I say relive in a very, very good way, in a very, the word honor again comes to mind, but also with that flair of Signature Sound.
Well, you know, we're here with Daniel and his program, Daniel Britt and Friends, and he's on our bus, and we're honored to have him sitting here, and I want to make a special plea. You know why we're sitting here. Not only we love Daniel and believe in Daniel, but we want you to buy the CD. We want you to buy the DVD. We want you to enjoy it over and over and over again. And if somebody buys it and does not like it, then I will promise you Daniel will come and cut your grass for a year.
Thanks, Ernie. I need the exercise.
Okay. Is that? I'm just a friend. I just want to be a friend.
That's good. Nobody else has ever said that.
You know, actually, now Doug, back me up. If they don't like it, all of our product comes with a money-back guarantee, doesn't it?
Right, we guarantee you ain't getting your money back.
Doug.
If you can remember his name, you got the website, erniehaas.com, for more information and, of course, the project. And keep up to date with these guys. Thanks for taking time and opening up your bus to all of us.
Thank you, Daniel, my friend.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern Gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.